This is Marty Angel, the yoga professor. And today we're going to talk about the eight limbs of yoga. But first we're going to define what yoga is. And yoga is a term that is broadly used to mean anything from a mental state of being all the way to a physical state of being. But the practice of yoga is an art, and the science of yoga is dedicated to creating union between body, mind, and spirit. And so as we go through our class, we realize that we experience yoga on our mat, but the key to true practice of yoga is not only to experience it on our mat, but to take and come away from our mat and carry our yoga throughout our daily life so that it enhances our life. So with this, we begin with the eight limbs of yoga, which is the core of the yoga foundation. The core of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras is an eight-limb path that forms the structural framework for a yoga practice. What the eight limbs are is, it is a path to become self-reflecting so that everything that we do is self-evident and no one element is elevated over another in hierarchical order. Each part of the eight limbs is a holistic focus which eventually brings completeness to the individual as they find their own connectivity to their higher source. And because of the fact that we are all uniquely individual, everybody, every person, every individual can emphasize one branch and then move on to another as they round out their understanding. So we talked about the eight limbs of yoga. The first of the eight limbs of yoga are the yamas. The yamas refer to universal morality. And we remember the yamas because they are broken down into five wise characteristics. Rather than a list of do's and don'ts, they tell us that our fundamental nature is compassionate, generous, honest, and peaceful. So then, the yamas are as follows. The first one is ahimsa, which means compassion for all living things. It means kindness, friendliness, and thoughtful consideration of other people and things. It has to do with our duties and responsibilities also. Ahimsa implies that in every situation, we should adopt a considerate attitude and absolutely do no intentional harm to anyone or anything. The second of the yamas is satya, spelled S-A-T-Y-A, and that is your commitment to truthfulness. Satya means literally to speak the truth, yet it is not always desirable to speak the truth on every occasion, for it could harm someone unnecessarily. So you must be practicing ahimsa. We have to consider what we say and how we say it and in what way it could affect others. If speaking the truth has negative consequences for anyone else, then it is better to stay quiet. Satya should never come into conflict with our efforts to behave with ahimsa. The next one is asteya, non-stealing. The third one is asteya, non-stealing, A-S-T-E-Y-A. Steya means to steal. Asteya is to take the opposite of that, is to take nothing that does not belong to us. So this means also, if we're in a situation where someone entrusts something to us or confides words to us, we do not take advantage of him or her. Non-stealing includes not only taking what belongs to another without permission, but also using something for a different purpose than it was intended for. So remember that the next time you take something home from the office. Remember that if you take it home from the office, you are telling the universe that you do not believe that in the future you will have enough money to purchase that yourself. So remember to stay away from Astea, from Steya, and stay in Astea. The fourth yama is brahmacharya. That's sense control. Brahmacharya is used mostly in the sense of abstinence, particularly in a relationship to sexual activity. Brahmacharya suggests that we should form relationships that foster our understanding of our highest truths. Rather, use it as a responsible behavior with respect to our goal and in moving toward the truth. Practicing brahmacharya means that we use our sexual energy to regenerate our connection to our spiritual self. It also means that we do not use this energy in any way that might harm others. The fifth and the last of the yamas is aparigraha, which means neutralizing the desire to acquire and hoard wealth. And this is very modern day. Many people in this society are beginning to hoard wealth. And hoarding wealth comes from fear. Aparigraha means only take what is necessary and not to take advantage of a situation or act greedy in any way. We should only take what we have earned. If we take more, we are exploiting the situation or someone else. As a yogi now, you must remember that the collection or hoarding of things implies the lack of faith in the universe and in yourself to provide for your future. Aparigraha also implies letting go of our attachments to things and others. And it means an understanding that the only constant in this world is change, and that we must accept it open-heartedly and with ahimsa. So remember, clean out your closets, let go of energy that is no longer serving you. Aparigraha. To neutralize the desire to acquire and hoard wealth.